And joining us in studio tonight, we have Christopher O'Sullivan, Fianna Fáil TD for Cork South West and party spokesperson on climate and diversity. Mairead Farrell, Sinn Féin TD for Galway West and party spokesperson on public expenditure. Annie Hoey, Labour senator and party spokesperson on further and higher education, innovation, research and science. And Ciara Phelan, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner. We want to hear from you as well, so please do get in touch. Text us on 51551. Email us on latedebate@rte.ie or tweet to @latedebate_RTE. Now, earlier today we learned from the Department of Children, Equality, Disability and Youth that 78 people seeking refuge in Ireland were turned away without state-provided accommodation over the last few days. 44 of those were from Ukraine. And while the department scrambled to find those people to offer them accommodation that has now become available, the Taoiseach and Mary Lou MacDonald clashed over this issue during leaders' questions. First, this is what Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald had to say.
What people see is the same incompetence and the same infuriating lack of pace this government has brought to addressing our domestic housing crisis. Now, not content with denying our own people the right to an affordable, secure roof over their heads, you now extend your catastrophic failure to those coming to Ireland seeking humanitarian assistance.
And then the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, took umbrage with Mary Lou MacDonald's choice of words.
You know, you used the comment, "We can't do our own as well," you said. And I know what that's targeted for. I know why that phrase was used. You used that phrase at the beginning of your remarks, and I know why you used it, and I know who it was targeted for. You're playing both sides in this debate, Deputy, and I regret that you are. I regret that you are. And you're not the first member, and you're not the first member of your party to play that game either.
And that was Micheál Martin today. Mairead, do you want to respond to that?
Well, to be honest, Katie, I wasn't at leaders today, and usually I am at leaders, but I have to say, I think that kind of a comment from the Taoiseach is outrageous and really, really divisive. We have always been very clear in our support for the government's policy in terms of helping those people who are fleeing war. And we've always been clear on that, and that are people fleeing war.
Do you think
maybe
Mary Lou MacDonald might have phrased it better? Because there is certainly an implication there when you hear it. And we had Marion Harkin on our programme on Saturday, and she was pointing out that things she felt were now very delicately balanced. And she said she has people coming to her and using that phrase, saying, why can't I have a house? You know, why can't we look after our own when we seem to be able to find accommodation for Ukrainians? We seem to be able to find places on school buses for Ukrainians. That this is something that needs to be managed very carefully now.
Of course it does, and I think we're all aware of that. But to be very clear, Mary Lou MacDonald would never suggest that, would never use leaders to suggest anything like that. And we need to be, you know, we all need to show leadership in relation to this. And I don't think that the Taoiseach saying that or making that kind of a divisive comment is in any way helpful. What I think every single one of us is really concerned about are all those people who are now, you know, find themselves in a situation where they won't have accommodation. And it's deeply concerning. I mean, we've been preparing, obviously, for some time now, and in relation to, you know, being able to have accommodation for people who are fleeing war and who are coming from horrendous situations. We're now in a real struggle in terms of finding that accommodation. What we now need to see from government is absolute leadership. And I don't think that, like, I have to say, I'm really shocked to hear that the Taoiseach said that kind of a divisive thing. Now, as I said, I didn't hear it at the time, but to hear it for the first time, I feel it's really shocking.
Christopher O'Sullivan.
Yeah, I was there, and I'm not one bit surprised that the Taoiseach interpreted Mary Lou's contribution the way that he did. The majority of the opposition leader's contribution was about the impact it was having to people domestically, rather than what we should have been talking about, which you opened with, the fact that 78 people couldn't find accommodation over the weekend, which absolutely is not good enough. But I'm not one bit surprised that that's how the Taoiseach interpreted it. There's a really dangerous narrative emerging right throughout Ireland at the moment, and that is this narrative of we got to look after our own first. you know, the Taoiseach back in February, March was being applauded for his stance and standing with Ukraine and opening up with no checks, no balances, unlike they did in the UK, where they introduced checks and balances. We saw where that got the UK. I think it's a large part that contributed to the Brexit vote and the way that resulted. I don't think that we should do the same thing here. I think the Taoiseach has been very strong in that. There
and
are
to be fair,
7.2 million people across Europe fleeing conflict, and Ireland has done incredibly well. The people of Ireland, the communities in Ireland, the state has done incredibly well in trying to accommodate as many as possible. But I'm not surprised that the Taoiseach interpreted Mary Lou's contribution the way he did today.
Ciara,
as an outsider and someone that's, you know, completely impartial, I actually don't think that's a fair assessment. I think the Sinn Féin leader was asking the Taoiseach about the number of people that were being forced out in the streets and what was the government's plan to help those people. Maybe, you know, the use of the word, you know, our own probably wasn't the best thing to do, but I don't think there was a heightened sense of we have to look after our own as well, and as in that narrative that you're, you know, talking about, Christopher, that is, you do
it's
see
not the interpretation.
No, but you see the tide. We are seeing the tide changing. Maybe he did, but as someone from the outside, and no one else among the political core, or, you know, often if there is a suggestive comment made in journalists' questions, you'll turn
it's
and you'll go,
picked
oh,
up, yeah.
it'll be picked but up. That wasn't the feeling among my own colleagues. But I think probably the Labour leader, Ivana Bacik, put it quite clearly to the Taoiseach. She seemed to be quite agitated by his response to the Sinn Féin leader, and she actually made the point, which I think was fair coming from Mary Lou MacDonald as well, was actually the communities, our own communities, are really worried about the refugees, not only Ukrainians coming in, to know where are they going to go, that we've done so much to help communities, so many communities across Ireland have done so much to help refugees, and we don't want to see them forced out in the street, and there's the actual concern there being like, what can we do to help?
Yeah, Annie Hoey, there is. I mean, people have had the most extraordinary response to Ukrainian refugees in particular coming in this time of war. But I do think that there is certainly it's a moment in time now that it needs to be dealt with in a very delicate way. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And as the Labour leader, Deputy Bacik, said, you know, she highlighted that people are, the actual feeling on the ground is people are concerned about what's going to happen to Ukrainian refugees. Like, the 78 people over the weekend were literally just sitting in the airport, and only for the fact that a lady from the Capuchin Centre went out to them off her own back, just was like, someone has to go out to these people, went out to make sure they had like cups of tea and somewhere to go. You know, that's I think the moment in time that we need to focus on in terms of like, how can we make sure this doesn't happen again? How can we make sure that we continue our generous and warm and open response to the refugees? Because what I've been hearing over the past few days in response to it is people are horrified that that has to happen, and they want us to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I really hope that this is a blip in the system, that this isn't an example of what's going to go on. I know the system is under pressure, but they're absolutely, where there is a will, there is a way. These are people fleeing from a land war at the edge of Europe, and I really believe that the majority of Irish people want us to find a way to support them.
Ciara.
Yeah, see, the thing is that the government and the Taoiseach, it's very defensive when it's put, the criticisms are put to him.
Well, it was called a disaster.
Now, hold on a second. If you just let me finish. What the state has done for people fleeing war has been phenomenal. What the government has done,
and what communities have done,
what communities, what the state has done in trying to secure accommodation, you have to take your hats off to people. Mary Lou MacDonald is arguing you knew about this for so long, but in all fairness, no one could ever have anticipated what was going to happen and how, in the middle, we were already in a housing crisis before the war in Ukraine came about. So how in the name of God were we going to be able to ramp up housing as quickly as was expected? And you have to say that, but I have to say the point is that the Taoiseach in particular is really gets really defensive when you put criticism to them. And I think there needs to be acknowledgement there that everyone is trying to work towards the main objective and the aim there. And what can we do together to make sure people aren't on the street?
If you call a response a disaster and if you call a response a
I don't agree with that.
No, but I would get defensive because that is absolutely not accurate. You're talking about 55,000 Ukrainians in Ireland. 42,000 are being homed by the state. There's 11,500 kids in our education system. There's 4,200 being accommodated by homes in the home pledge scheme. That is an incredible response.
There's also going to be an increase in the homeless people. Let Christopher respond.
It's an incredible response. We have... you know, the Taoiseach listed out the list of European countries where we perform better in terms of the amount of Ukrainian refugees that we've taken. I completely accept what Annie is saying and what you've said as well at the outset. 78 people without accommodation is not good enough and we need to avoid that in the future. But that is why the Cabinet sat today, bring forward plans.
Can I put you though that the Cabinet sitting today, I mean, did we have to wait until there was actually people actually on the streets for that emergency? I mean, we were hearing over the weekend that the ministers would meet, the cabinet would discuss this today. And there was a sense that why was that meeting not held 3 weeks ago when it was quite clear that the numbers were rising again and we were, you know, on the brink of running out of space?
It would have been absolutely fantastic if we weren't in a situation where 78 people wouldn't have had to be turned away from accommodation. But what's happening now is we're doubling.
And why wasn't, as the Ukrainian ambassador pointed out, why weren't people warned a week ago, don't come, we are actually now... We're at our limit right now. We're trying to scramble more accommodation.
We can focus on the past or we can focus on what we're going to do, and that is double the payment for people's homes. We're going to accelerate these rapid builds in terms of modular buildings. We're going to refurbish accommodation. We need a short-term, medium-term and long-term plan to ensure that what happened over the weekend doesn't happen again.
But do you not see that's the argument that's been made, is that there has been warning signs for weeks that we're at capacity.
It's an ever-changing situation.
And Gormanstown camp has been closed since early October. Why wasn't another location as well as Mill Street and City West facility secured? What was the work going on behind the scenes there, given that Gormanstown camp had closed down? The state has already spent £25.2 million on these particular locations. But that's the point.
Every country
is
grappling.
Well, no, it is.
Well, Maria, can I put you, and you've been quite critical, obviously, of the situation we have found ourselves in now. But it is an extraordinary ask of any state to take in over 1% of its population in circumstances where we were used to having a few thousand people seeking international protection, and to go from that to where we are in the space of time we've gone. You know, surely it must be acknowledged that in itself, even that we have managed to do as well as we have.
Well, we've always been, you know, supportive in relation to the government's, I suppose, approach on this. But I would just take issue with something that Christopher said in relation to the Taoiseach's response. I have to say, I find the Taoiseach is always extremely defensive, no matter what the question is asked. And even I've been on the brunt of that sometimes when I'm trying to ask something. And I don't understand somebody with as long political experience as he does have, why he approaches questions that way. I do agree with you in the sense that we need to look at what we can do now. I would have concern personally that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who have been presiding over a housing crisis for a long period of time, I would be concerned that you would have it in the capability to act to the needs that we're facing now. I think there's one thing that we do need to look at is the issue that the Refugee Council have been raising in relation to the holiday homes. I mean, we have 90,000 of those. If we're looking even at 5% or 10% of those being able to be used, that's something that needs to be looked at.
It seems, though, I remember talking about this in this studio.
I know.
Five months ago.
Even this weekend, I was talking to someone who said that they had offered up a room in their home and they hadn't heard, you know. Now, I'm not saying that that's Chris's fault here at all, but the point is there are a lot of people out there that are willing to who want to help as much as they can. And I think in relation to those 90,000 holiday homes that we have, if we have houses and homes that are lying kind of idle there, then they need to be looked at.
Annie?
Yeah, a couple of months ago, Minister Dara O'Brien wrote to, you know, political parties, political groupings and said, look, any ideas and all ideas welcome. Let me know what it is. And if there's any vacant properties in your local area, let me know about it. And off we all trot and everyone looked around and peered through keyholes and went, that looks empty. This is empty. And here's ideas of what can be done. And we've never heard anything back about that. There's never been any response to those suggestions. I'm not saying there were brilliant suggestions or, you know, but there was literally nothing. And I think a lot of the political groupings, political parties went out of their way to put something together, to put suggestions together, looked into the localities, dug into their communities to see what could be done. And even a basic briefing from the Minister for Housing as to the state of play, what needs to be done in local areas. That would be really helpful, actually, because we are working in our communities, doing our best, actually, to get people's support. And like, there's been areas where local reps, local politicians have literally been the point on the ground trying to get people sorted out.
Obviously, that stuff obviously takes time. I know your leader had suggested Baggot Street Hospital, and the Taoiseach confirmed it all today that that is being looked at. But I think the issue that has arisen as well in the last couple of days are the thousands of pledges from homeowners that have not been fulfilled. And just this evening I was speaking to a government source who said that, you know, the scheme needed to be up and running, the pledge scheme, very quickly. But it's a bit all over the place. I learned today that only 12 local authorities in the country have the responsibility of vetting homes that are put forward by the Department of Housing. And then 19 local authorities actually do this work with NGOs. And there's homes falling through the cracks here, and people don't seem to know who was going where. And that kind of came to light after the Red Cross were on the news at one today saying that there was thousands more homes that hadn't been fulfilled. And now the government are going to replace this renewing their launch. So they're actually going to completely overhaul the scheme, and it's going to be led by the Department of Taoiseach and local authorities. Yeah. It needs to be streamlined.
And that's a key point, is that is going to be overhauled. There is definitely homes falling through the cracks. We probably all have experiences where people have contacted us where they put up their home as an offer of to help out Ukrainians, and they weren't contacted. So this is going to be led by the local authority. They're better resourced, they're better staffed. So it's going to be a complete overhaul, because there needs to be an overhaul. And just getting back to Annie's reference there,
the local authority has not been involved in this for some time now.
They would have, certainly in the initial response when they were seeking out emergency accommodation as holding places before accommodation was found. But certainly this is going to be local authority led, which puts it into Dara Bryan's department. But in terms of Annie's point in relation to Deputy Batchett's exchange with Dara Bryan today, look, the Taoiseach did assure Ivana Batchett that there would be a presentation or a briefing, I suppose, for leaders. And I think that's really important as well, to put everybody in the picture. Absolutely, I agree, Annie. This needs to be all parties putting their shoulder to the wheel. I respect Ivana's contribution today, because it was far less divisive and far more constructive, I think, than the opposition leader's contribution.
Is Ivana not in the opposition?
The opposition leader, I suppose. You're a creditor.
I think one thing that needs to be said as well, you know, I've been in kind of electoral politics since 2014. I was politically active before that, but I have actually not seen housing in general as bad as it is now in a long period of time. There was a period of time where there was a bit of, you know, things were coming on stream and, you know, people were coming and, you know, they were getting houses or there was places to rent and that. So I think we're really in a very massive crisis at this very moment in time. So we do need to look at all the different options. So we've talked about, you know, for example, the holiday homes and that. We also, today we were discussing the finance bill, and I only had 4 minutes to contribute to it. But the thing that I focused on was this vacant homes tax that's being brought in through the finance bill. And I'm concerned that it's not, like, vacant homes tax can work. They've worked in other areas. They've worked in countries like France, for example, where it's a 12.5% tax that increases the following year then if it continues to remain vacant. Because, you know, we all know in our towns, cities and rural areas, places that there are vacant homes and where people aren't really sure in the local area who owns them and that. So, but the problem is that the vacant home tax, in my view, from what I have seen, now we will be discussing it further at finance committee level, but to look at it properly, but it doesn't seem to be that, first of all, it doesn't appear that if year on year you're not doing anything with it, that you are going to be penalised more. You're talking about self-declaring it. And there's a lot of issues with that. If we want to actually tackle all the aspects of the housing crisis, we do also need to be looking at those vacant homes, because they are in our rural areas as well, where a lot of people are looking to move to.
Christopher, would you agree with that?
I would. And that's why the Croí Cónaithe Fund has been set up, you know, which could provide up to €50,000 towards a renovation of not just vacant premises in towns and villages, but also now this has been extended to rural areas. So if there's a vacant derelict house in a rural area, that a first-time buyer can avail of a €50,000 grant. So that's important. And just in relation, it's the worst ever. I mean, absolutely, we have to tackle homelessness. But just speaking from my own constituency, in the last year alone, 260 social homes have been given out. We've just got approval for about 130 42 affordable homes, which will commence construction in 2023. So we are making movement there. I wouldn't agree it's the worst ever, but certainly.
Can I just, sorry, we have over 3,000 children in our homes, and what I'm finding now is people are coming, they can't get a
car. Can I just stick with the Ukrainian refugee issue just for now? Yeah. We're getting quite a few texts in. Again, I knew we'd get these because we always do. People who pledged their homes over the last number of months got one phone call or two phone calls. Nobody has come back to them. So a lot of people asking, what's the story with that?
And that'd be local authority led.
And we've talked about that. But then another, this is another one. Will the Ukrainians who got houses give a room to other Ukrainians? It's a tough night for the Irish on the street. So there's definitely that sense out there as well now. But in terms of what Roderick O'Gorman was trying to say to the Ukrainian ambassador today and what Leo Varadkar has said over the weekend and others, and there's definitely a sense now that we're trying to put a few push factors into this along with the pull factors and trying to persuade people, you know, to stay away. What about the idea of charging people, you know, rent, as was suggested, you know, a small amount of rent if they're working? And also, what about that idea that when we renew those hotel accommodation contracts, that it won't be just for bed, there won't be any board involved?
In relation to the charging, I think according to the latest stats, there's about 10,000 of the Ukrainians that are here that are working. And I don't think they would have any issue in terms of paying rent or paying their way. And that's something that, of course, should be looked at and reviewed. In relation to the second question, I think part of the approach with this double payment for the home pledge from going from €400 to €800 is to try and encourage a move from hotel accommodation into the home. I guess that's where that's coming from. So that, I think, would take care of that food allowance issue as well, that they would be given allowances for food and, you know, take it away from the hotels. I think it's like 25% of our hotel space at the moment is used
25%
to accommodation.
But in terms of people, like, it's, as you say, people who are working, that's one issue. But people who turn up and you know, only have, you know, what they're carrying with them, is it reasonable to ask them to
pay rent, absolutely.
Or to pay for food, the most basic.
I think
They're not working. I mean, if you're just arriving and you have nothing set
up. Well, there's still the scheme where they can avail of the social welfare payment by going to their local intro office and availing of that. So, I mean, that's there for them to support them in terms of food. There's still a food voucher scheme. So, I don't think it's fair to if they've just fled conflict in Ukraine, where, you know, shells are raining down on their cities and on their homes, then absolutely not. But if they've been here for a while, and as you said, there's 10,000 in the workforce at the moment, then I don't think there'd be any issue, and I don't think they'd have any issue themselves in terms of paying their way.
We will leave that one there because no doubt we'll have much more to talk about that in the days and weeks ahead.